Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great.
We love doing this, don't we?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's so much fun. And we've got a guest in the house, Laura Lencioni. Laura Lencioni, she's my wife. How you doing, Laura?
Good.
So thanks. Great to have you here.
Seriously. It's
great to be here.
And then we have our engineer and your son.
Mm-hmm. Our son.
Our son. Yes, that's true.
It's pressure's on, Matt.
That's right.
Better not screw this one up.
He's not on mic today. But we're going to have fun. I wish you were, because we're going to have fun talking about something. What's the subject?
Your working genius and your family.
Yeah.
And so, we've talked about this, your working genius, and laid out the model. We talked about it on Teams. And now we're going to, during the holiday season, apply this to your family.
That's right. Because we do a lot of work at home and mm-hmm. when we're with our family. Work being things that we have to get done.
Yep.
And the working genius makes a huge difference. And remember, that at the heart of the working genius model, it's better understanding ourselves and others so that we don't feel unnecessarily guilty and that we don't judge others because they have different geniuses than we do and different frustrations.
And it's actually really unique. And you guys have been talking about this as much as me and Lindsay have, but it's unique because even on a team, teams are typically three, four, five, or more people.
Right.
In your marriage and in your family, your marriage in particular, two people, that means that two of your working geniuses, they could even overlap. You're more likely to have areas like holes in your family.
Absolutely.
And so being aware of those is really interesting.
Yeah. And for Laura and I, we overlap quite a bit on our geniuses, and we have similar working frustrations.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, what that means.
I find it funny though, because when we used to use the Myers-Briggs a lot, you know, and we still do.
And my wife introduced us to the Myers-Briggs 25 years ago.
Right. But there are these like ancillary books that are like, how would a ENFP data, you know, like they talk about combinations, like how well they fit together. And obviously we didn't know any of this before we started dating or got married. But if you had the working genius in advance of this, you could actually look at someone, not as like a dating criteria, but to go like, hey, if we go the distance with this thing, we're going to have holes in this area and this area, you know?
We need to hire a T right now.
Yeah. I know. We should have been like, doctor, make sure this baby's a T. Somebody's got to get stuff done.
Well, and I do think we're using the language, but we should do like a 1-minute overview of the working geniuses, just in case people missed those two podcasts or come to us after we've done those.
So that's a great idea.
Why don't you take that away?
So the working genius basically comes down to this. There are six different gifts and talents and activities that go with those that you need to get anything done, running a family, starting a company, doing anything. Those six things correspond to our own abilities. Mm-hmm. And two of the six, and I'll go through them really fast, are our working geniuses. We love them. They give us energy. They give us joy. And we're naturally good at them. Two of them are our working competencies. We can do them fairly well. We don't love it, but we can do it for a while. Two of them are our working frustrations, which means we don't like doing it. We're probably terrible at it. And it drains us of our joy and energy. Mm-hmm. And so here's what those six things are. And remember, two of these apply as your genius, your competency, and your frustration. The first is a genius of wonder, which means you like to ponder things, consider the big picture. And you're constantly thinking, why are things the way they are in the environment, in the world, in your family, in your company? You know, could things be better? Is this the best potential we have? Why do we do things like that? The next one is the genius of invention. They take the wonder, the issue that somebody's wondering about, and say, I want to solve that. I'm going to come up with a new idea. I'm going to think of something novel and innovative, the genius of invention. But sometimes they don't come up with great ideas. They need the next genius, the genius of discernment, the person with gut feel, good instincts. They're really good at assessing and evaluating things, not in a linear data-driven way, but they just have good gut feel. The next one is the genius of galvanizing. They take the great idea that's been discerned and said, let's get people excited, get people in a room, inspire them, recruit them, get things moving. Let's get momentum headed in the right direction, and let's really get things moving. The next one is the genius of enablement, a hugely important genius. They're the one that comes alongside and says, I will help with that. I will do whatever you need on your terms, because to get this off the ground, somebody needs to come along and respond. And the last one is the genius of tenacity, which is the person who loves. They get energy and joy from just getting things done, from moving it across the finish line, from seeing the results, seeing the impact. They love to get things done and finish things. Those are the six types of working genius.
That's
okay.
Great.
So how does this apply to our family?
Yeah. And before we get into, I think I love these stories because like we'll tell some stories from our own experience, but they make it come to life and actually have you help you understand how to apply them or how it can apply in your family. But I will say this up front that there's a quote on our website, theworkinggenius.com website, where it says like, you can't really love your work unless you identify what your gifts are and you have to know what they are first. Right. Yeah. And so in part, it's being able to, you know, take the assessment or listen to this and assess for yourself. But the second piece is to have humility and vulnerability to say, here are what my strengths are and here are what my weaknesses are. That's like table stakes to start applying it, right? Because you need to be able to say, I'm good at this. And that's not like me being braggy and I'm particularly bad at this.
And let me just say this, that this is a commercial. I mean, it wasn't designed to be that way, but an opportunity. You know, it's a great thing to do at home. We did it over Thanksgiving with his other family and our own family is we all took it. Mm-hmm. We took this assessment. It takes 15 minutes and you get the results right away. And we talked about it and how it affected our marriage and how we worked as and how your kids are and how you've assessed them incorrectly or they felt bad about something. And we thought, oh, this is actually just your working genius. Yeah. So if you go to workinggenius.com, you're over the holidays, you're sitting around looking for something to do. As I said once before, it's better than Scrabble. And have people take this and enter the code at the table and you get 50% off. And I think that's going to run out pretty soon. So do that before the end of the year at the table. And it costs $12.50 and you'll get insights into yourself that you can share with your family. And it's really interesting to sit around the table and talk about what are yours? Here's what I think yours are. Oh, I never realized that. Yeah. It makes for some really fun and positive conversations.
Well, I have a good friend, Kathleen, who said she was going to put them in her kids' stockings. Like she was going to give it to them for Christmas.
That's really? Awesome.
Stockings. Kathleen in Denver?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Kathleen. Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's put all of what our working geniuses are. We have a couple right here and you guys as a couple. And then I'll talk about, even as you were talking, like I was just thinking about the ways Lindsay and I, my wife and I have been shopping for Christmas presents and how our working geniuses, we actually use them to get this done. So I think that like, let's put some ornaments on this tree, but what are your guys' working geniuses?
Well, and before we say that, let me just say this, Cody. Here's the things we do at home that are work, you know. We run our household. Mm-hmm. We pay our bills. We organize things. We clean things. We help our kids with their homework. You know, we parent them.
Plan vacations.
We plan vacations. We are constantly working. The home is a workplace. Mm-hmm. And though our Myers-Briggs type and our DISC and everything, this is like when the push comes to shove, how do you go about doing the dishes or cleaning the house? Because we do that all the time.
Yep.
And if you do it in a different way, you can frustrate one another. So Laura and I, Laura, you're working geniuses. The things you naturally like to do is what?
W&I.
So you like to wonder. You sit and ponder. And I see you sitting in the family room, looking out the window, looking at the trees, and you just sit and ponder. I'll come home from work and I've been thinking about something and it's fantastic. One of the things that initially attracted me to you was that. And then you also have the genius of invention. You like to come up with new ideas. We invented a board game. Mm-hmm. You wrote a musical for moms.
Right.
Laura loves to come up with new things out of nothing.
I didn't finish, and that's because tea is one of my last things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was the musical called? I'm just curious.
OBGYN it was like Oklahoma, but it was OBGYN with a big exclamation at the end.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
OBGYN. You know? But she has all these songs that were hilarious. And so she does that. How many, you know, so many people, and we know people, friends, they're like, where does that come from? Why do you do that? It's like, it's a gift. Now, my working geniuses are invention. So Laura and I love to come. It's no surprise. Oh, we wrote a book together too. We never got it published though, because we didn't have T.
Yeah.
I didn't have a staff.
Or a G. So.
Or a G, right. And so I have invention and discernment. And Laura is really tired of me reminding her when I have a little bit more discernment, because I'm like, well, let me do this. And she's like, I have some discernment too. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Of the six, we only have geniuses in three of them.
Right.
Which leaves the other three relatively bare. But as it turns out, I have some ability to galvanize.
That's in your working competency.
Working competency. She has a working competency in enablement. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing in that. Neither of us, both of us have working frustrations in tenacity. We just don't get any joy or any energy from finishing things. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. We've invented a lot of things that we never finished because there was nobody around to go, I'm going to make you guys keep going.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And now my own company, I write books and I do all these things, but I have people around me that go, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I know I need that.
Right.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The fact that you guys have overlap, and we've shared stories about our home lives and stuff here, but it was funny. So my wife she has tea, which I got lucky. I hit the tea jackpot because I have none. And she's a discerner, tenacity person, but tea is first. So tenacity, discerner. I am a discerner galvanizer, right? And what's interesting is how this plays out. Like I was just thinking, she is great at making lists, getting stuff done, checking stuff off. We're going to visit family. She's making sure our house, like we have all of our presents ready. But what's interesting is like when you start to understand this model, I used to ask her like, hey, tell me all the things that you want to get done. And it felt like I was coming across like I was going to judge or audit what she was doing.
Right, yeah.
And prior to us having the language around discernment, but really what I'm trying to do is go, hey, how can I help you maximize or leverage this? Or is like, can we combine two of those? Or are some of those less important than other ones? And it used to be really annoying to her for me to say, hey, tell me everything. Like I'm just going to solve it. You know, like, oh, you're just, yeah. But just this week, we had this whole list of things and I was like, okay, tell them to me. And she actually was asking for discernment around it. And so we're like, that's not as important. We can do these two things that we thought would happen at two stores at one store, you know? And really that's like this, that's us learning how to apply working genius in our family that used to lead to a fight. And now that's it awesome. Leads to like awesome. some actual, like we get more done and we get, and what's great is I get to use the part that I love and she gets to use the part that she loves. It would drive me crazy if we reverse those roles.
Like, right.
Hand me a list and I'll go check it off.
Right. And so many people in life do that. They go, well, I'm not good at this. So I should probably really force myself to do a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
which is a recipe for burnout and frustration and guilt and all those other things.
Well, and it even goes to, this has given me language because like there were times throughout our marriage where I'd be like, we need better ways of like making decisions or we need a financial like plan, you know, for a budget, but I'm not an inventor and neither is she. And I used to think that I got to make this up, you know, like I got to figure this out for our family.
Right.
And now, and more recently, I was just like, no, let's just go find the one that's best for us and
right.
use it. We can use our collective discernment to say that one will work for us. And then she uses her tea to actually make us stick to the plan, you know?
Right.
So it's so interesting how, I know you guys are both laughing because you're like, can we borrow
her
tea?
Say, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Did you just say stick to the plan? Exactly.
I was just telling Pat yesterday that one of the reasons why I change our files every 6 months, I change our system. I never have the same system because I like to invent a new system.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't
use it. I
do not
stick to it.
Right.
But it's fun for you,
yeah.
actually.
I don't do the tea part. Like, I don't actually file the stupid things in the files.
You know what's ironic? Laura would be a really good organizer of other people's homes because she comes up, I mean, she like designing the system.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good at it. And then we could never let the customers come visit our house because it's the cobbler's children. Because, and I wish we had a picture of this. And I say this now, it's taken us years to realize this, but if you were to look at Matthew, you grew up like this, you go into Laura's office and it is a tornado. Now, she knows where everything is.
You have a system. It's a systemized tornado.
Barely.
No, it's actually a system that's in between systems because everything's out on the floor.
Right.
So that when I actually have a system to put it into, then I know where it is.
And so I just close the door. I used to like, come on, we have to change this. And now I'm like, nope. And then sometimes the system is like the blob and it kind of grows out into the other part of the house. I'm like, nope, it has to go back in the room. But that's because she's a WI. She wonders and invents. And it's probably, there's a lot of people listening to this who are wonderers and inventors going, oh my gosh, that's what my desk looks like. Or that's what my office looks like. Or
yeah. And what I find really interesting, like when, even as we talk about this is everybody's marriage does look different and it looks different based on the people and personalities that are in the marriage. And like, sometimes you have a tendency to look at another family and feel guilt.
Why aren't we like them?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Like, you look at a family, it's like got 5 kids and they just got a puppy. And I'm like, we just had our second kid and we want to give our dog away. I don't know. I don't know how you're doing that. Maybe we're worse at this than you, you know? But it does actually, I mean, when we talk about, it's unique in on a team, you want to have all of them.
Yes.
In a family, you can't have all of them.
No.
But what you can do is be self-aware and then try to figure out, like, what's the culture of our family? How do we wrangle our weaknesses in ways that, like your guys' office, you guys need help with that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to do it.
Well, you know, what's also funny about our families, we are wildly spontaneous because we don't have a plan and stick mm-hmm. to that plan. And so at any given day, you'll drive by our house and there'll be a truckload of cars out there.
Right.
Because our son will go, can I have these people over to play poker? And we're like, absolutely.
Yep.
Whereas other places go, oh no, we have a schedule for the next 2 weeks. There's no room for that. And we have friends that we never see and they go, why don't we ever go out? We're like, just drop by. Mm-hmm. Just stop by the house and we'll be glad to have you. But if we try to schedule it, we probably will struggle.
Yeah, I told a friend the other day, I said, schedule it on your calendar and call me 20 minutes before and then ask me to go on the walk with you.
Totally.
But actually, why not? That works. I mean,
that works.
Right.
You know, and it goes back to what we've been saying about Working Genius all along is like, it eliminates guilt. The guilt that you feel like I don't do this thing, and judgment. Because that other family that schedules could look at your family and be like, oh, they're flaky. And it's like, no, you guys are not flaky. In fact, you guys are the most hospitable, open people ever. You're like, hey, come by, use the pool. It doesn't matter if we're there. Don't even tell us. Just show up. You know,
exactly. We would be so glad to see like you and Lindsay out in the backyard. Hey, right. Cody, did you know they were? I didn't know they were coming. Right. That's great.
And for my wife, she is more scheduled. That's harder for her.
And we could go, she's so anal. It's like, no. She just has that schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Like when Laura, our favorite thing to do in the world, I think it would be our favorite thing to do in the world is to go on a trip together and just drive.
Right.
And talk. And sing and dream and wonder and invent and discern
games that you come up with.
And then we'll stop anywhere. Like, do you want to stay the night here? Yeah. Let's find a place to stay. Other people would go, oh my gosh. You mean you don't have an agenda? You don't have a plan? How do you know you're going to find a place?
Yeah.
And the worst part is then when you have kids, you actually have to have a plan.
Oh.
And so the whole fly by the seat of your pants goes out the window and you're like, no, we have to know where we're staying because we have to know where we're eating every meal.
Yeah.
Right. And your kids have different needs.
Right.
Now it's coming back to us now. Cause when our son says, hey, it's COVID, I'm going to be living in our house. My girlfriend needs a place to live too. And we're like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Move them in tomorrow. And Laura, this is where she does have a lot of enablement. She's very hospitable. She's moving the house for people and doing stuff. So it's just a different way of living.
Yeah.
But man, the tea bites us in the butt regularly.
Well, and before you guys had language for this and knew that it was each other's weaknesses, there was opportunity to judge one another, you know, like, oh, that's your responsibility or, oh, you dropped the ball on that. And now you have, it's funny because even as you guys described, you know, oh, we have all this you're like, oh, we had a board game together and we wrote a book together and we did this musical. I was like, oh no. My wife and I don't do any of that. Is something wrong with us? You know?
You mean you guys haven't been to musical yet?
I'm like,
oh, Laura, these people are strange.
Lindsay, if you're listening to this, get the notebook out. We're going to do
our
best.
Why don't you guys just come finish these things for us? Yeah.
We should just send it to Lindsay.
Send us your musical and Lindsay will get it out in the world.
But hey, Lindsay, did you know that we had our power cut off once because we didn't pay the bill? And they reminded us a few times.
Well, you know, what's funny about, so when we've been married for eight years, I believe. Hopefully that's right. Lindsay, 7 or 8 years.
Matt, maybe we can edit this if he gets that wrong.
Oh, no, it is 7 years. And I used to pay all the bills, which
bad idea.
And it was more just because like, I just would grab them as when they came in and I would try it on my phone. But more often than not, and it would stress Lindsay out, is I knew that even if you missed like your credit card bill, you can call them. This is a PSA announcement too. And just say, hey, can you reverse that late fee? And they'll reverse it every time.
Right.
So I would just wait. And then like a day later, I'd be like, oh no, I forgot. And I would spend 10 minutes on the phone and they would reverse the $35 late fee. And she's like, you are stressing me out. Can you just,
I was just going to say she must've been stressed.
Yeah. And I thought I was helping, but I was stressing her out. And it turns out she's not only way better than me at this, but she likes doing it. She's like, I get to check this off. And so it is just, it's so interesting that when you don't have some framework around this, and it's not like this is the only one, you know, but there are so many tools that people can become more self-aware. But this one in particular has been wildly useful in our marriage and just for when we're planning vacations and how do we leverage each other's gifts. And I know that you guys I mean, I've seen the way you guys have interacted after this assessment. It's 5 months old, and it's changing people's lives. It's amazing.
And literally, when Laura will say, I need you to do the discernment thing, I'm like, oh, first of all, I know what she's asking me. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I'm like, oh, she's recognizing that I'm good at that.
Yep.
And it's funny because she wonders about things. Like, I really trust that she's probably thought deeply about some big picture things that I don't have the patience for. So I really trust that. Now, when it comes to what we should do about it, then she goes, okay, how should we act on this? And mm-hmm. we can partner. But boy, solving that T thing is really hard. And that's one of the interesting things is then your kids come along. And now you're, you know, Brooks and Quinn are a little young to be doing their working genius. Although I have a feeling Quinn will probably know those pretty soon. Because she's like Lindsay.
Yeah.
But like our boys, we know what their working geniuses are. Mm-hmm. And it changes the way we look at everything. Like our youngest son, Michael, his working geniuses are like Laura's. And T and E are not. And school is mostly an E and T function. Mm-hmm. Do what please your teacher and get things done. And knowing now that God did not wire him to do that naturally, what did Michael say just the other day? It was awesome.
Oh, when he said
after he came home from a test.
I said, are you stressed about this? And he said, no, I know that I studied and I know that as long as I do my best, you know, that's all you and Dad ask me to do. And so I did my best and I'm fine. I'm like, thank God. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Because otherwise, now when I was a kid, I'm not an E or a T, but I felt like I would be a bad person if I didn't like definitely do everything exactly the right way. I spent most of my life swimming against the grain. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of messes you up because you start to try to be great at things you're not great at, which takes you away from the things that you are great at. And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, oh, wow, I actually can make a career out of inventing and discerning. I actually went to college thinking I was going to be an accountant or something, mm-hmm. which God bless accountants because so many people like it.
Right.
It is terrible for me because I'm horrible at it.
Yeah.
So we can actually go back. Now, we figured this out when our sons were, and well, Matt, one of our sons helped us figure this model out. So now we can go back and realize, oh, Matt's actually that and that. We can deal with him differently than we deal with his identical twin brother, Connor, because they don't have the same working geniuses.
Right. And what a great gift. I love the stocking stuffer idea because it's like, what a great gift to give to you as a parent or you as a spouse or to your kids to be able to go, hey, I know that you're wired uniquely and I want to know what that is so that I can interact with you differently. You know, mm-hmm. like I have an identical twin brother. We don't have the same gifts right. and we can tap into each other in different ways, you know? And so I, you know, it does sound like a commercial. We're just excited about what this is doing in our lives, what it's doing in our work culture, what it's doing in our family, and just want people to benefit from it.
That is a great thing. If you're hearing this, this is going to air right after Christmas.
Right. But I know we're recording this before, and I say that because we recorded one episode like a week early, a couple weeks ago, and it aired on my mom's birthday, and she was like, you didn't mention it was my birthday. And I was like, oh no, Mom, I'm sorry. Hey, we didn't record on your birthday. So happy birthday, belated birthday, Mom.
Very good.
But this is going out the week of Christmas. Yeah.
And that might be Laura's birthday, the 27th of December. So if so, happy birthday, Laura.
There we go.
Thank you.
This is a great little thing to send somebody to mm-hmm. say as a gift. Hey, I thought you might want to have some insight into yourself.
Great.
So if you need a late Christmas gift, that's a good one. Now, something else we want to tell people is we are going to start a new podcast in the new year, which is called what?
Working Genius Podcast with Patrick Lencioni.
Very clever. But we have been overwhelmed with the nuances and the applications of this mm-hmm. and the combinations of letters and the combinations of people working together. And so we are going to start a podcast where we talk about the various applications and nuances, and it's just going to be a blast. And we're actually going to get Matt Lencioni on the mic against his will. Because he's one of the people that helped come up with this model, and him and Tracy are going to be doing a lot of talking about what we're learning. Because we've also had more than 30,000 people take this, and so we're getting data, and it's fascinating to see what we see.
Yeah, and there's just, like you said, there's so many nuances in every team that we work with, and every instance where it's like, you know, do the combos matter, and what does this look like when someone has T first? And so it's just going to be an opportunity for us to go deeper on that, and you know, we got it out in the world in a like minimum viable product way. And this is an opportunity for people who enjoy that, want to learn more, want to leverage this more in their work, in their lives. It's going to be fun.
And we're also going to be launching in the first quarter of the new year, a training program for people that want to get certified in this. Mm-hmm. So they can really be experts and go out and use this with teams and with organizations and things like that. So people will hear more about that later. Hey, we're getting end of the year here. And we, as always, just want to say, we love the listeners. We love the feedback we get from you. And we have a blast doing this. So thank you for making that possible. Laura, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for giving birth to our engineer. I really appreciate that.
He's a wonderful boy.
We'll leave that in.
That's right. And we will see everybody in the new year on the next At the Table podcast. God bless.